You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're checking in with Congressman Glenn Grothman on a range of issues surrounding trade, tariffs, family farms in Wisconsin, and starting with the impeachment inquiry. Democrats yesterday opened impeachment hearings to try to get to the bottom of whether President Trump abused his power when he asked a foreign power to target his political rivals. Was there quid pro quo? We'll explore that alongside questions that are on your mind. 800-642-1234. U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman is a Republican who represents Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. His district includes Sheboygan, Manitowoc, and Fond du Lac, and stretches west to central Wisconsin. Congressman Grothman, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, glad to talk to the erudite listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio.
So earlier this month, you voted no on formalizing the House impeachment inquiry. Other Republicans said that the rules proposed by Democrats would fail to provide President Trump with due process rights. Why did you vote no?
Well, we felt the unqualified ability to call our own witnesses, that sort of thing, was inappropriate, created an unfair situation. Not to mention, I really think the motive here, there are people who wanted to impeach President Trump from day one. And, you know, you heard about this, including the person who we felt was connected to the whistleblower. You heard this sort of stuff from the time he was sworn in. And you have to just ask yourself, what is the motivation? Why did they want to impeach President Trump from the time he was sworn in? And I think it's because he is a bit of a lightning rod. You know, he's not like a George Bush. He's not like a Barack Obama. He's out there trying to renegotiate these trade agreements. He's finally trying to stop the flow of illegal immigrants across the border. He's standing up to our allies in Europe, insisting that they pay their fair share. And when you rock the boat, you upset the swamp. And
well,
the swamp is going to fight back.
Well, let's look at Ukraine here for a moment. This inquiry investigating whether he used military aid as leverage over Ukraine so it would investigate the Bidens. President Trump has denied a quid pro quo, but there has been testimony to the contrary. If you see enough evidence supporting a quid pro quo, is that an impeachable offense?
I could argue that either way. I think it's important that people look into this. I mean, it's something that I always wondered about. You know, you heard books written, I think even prior to when Donald Trump was sworn in, talking about how Joe Biden's son was benefiting substantially from his relationship with the Ukraine. And I think it must be mystifying to Donald Trump why that was not investigated at the time or why the press wasn't making a big deal out of it.
So would it have been appropriate for President Trump to withhold military aid to pressure Ukraine to investigate the Bidens?
I don't think I would have done that, but I don't think it's impeachable either.
So the failure to actually finish a quid pro quo means President Trump never committed an impeachable offense?
I don't think anything I've seen so far would lead me to one to say it's impeachable. Impeachable offense. You got to look at the motivation of these people. You've got to wonder why it was well known in Washington, and why I think even a book was written about it. Why President or then Vice President Biden, why his son was making so much money when he clearly wasn't qualified for the job because of his relationship with the Ukrainian company. And you know, and the degree to which, because somebody is getting enriched there, the degree to which Vice President Biden was that way was weighing in. And I think it's very frustrating that at the time, maybe people just thought that's the way it is in Washington, and that's the type of thing vice presidents do. But I don't think it was. I think something should have been done at the time, and I think it's something that should be looked into.
Let's go to Willem now, joining us from Colfax. Hi, Willem.
Hello. I do think it's an impeachable offense. If the standard, I don't understand why the Republican Party was willing to impeach President Clinton and put us through the whole Starr investigation for a lie when Donald Trump lies every day. And asking foreign governments to help in U.S. elections doesn't serve the interests of our country. He asked the Chinese on the White House, outside the White House, to investigate the Bidens. He's asked Putin to do it. He's denied the findings of the military or of the intelligence agencies that the Russians interfered with our elections.
So Willem is saying,
I think a little bit there is you got to realize President Trump's got a kind of dry sense of humor. And I know you got a dry sense of humor, you know, when he asked the Chinese to investigate the Bidens, on national TV. I don't think he expects the Chinese to investigate the Bidens. I think he has fun with the press corps. And, you know, it's a tough job as a politician because some people don't have a dry sense of humor.
Well, we're going to move on here from the impeachment inquiry to other news with U.S. Congressman Glenn Grothman. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. What issues in your community should Congress address? What are your top concerns? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Congressman, let's move closer to home here. This year, Wisconsin has seen a growing number of small farm bankruptcies. You've said dairy farmers are facing their greatest challenges in decades. Is action needed by Congress or President Trump to address this situation?
Well, all farm groups, and they're different, you know, dairy farmers are involved in different groups, feel we have to expand our markets. I think President Trump is trying to do that. As your listeners, I'm sure, know, we have a reached agreement with Canada and Mexico that we feel will open up more markets for Wisconsin dairy farmers. He's also working with Japan. We've had the price come up from a low around $14 to, I think it's been over $18 recently, but we've got to keep it there for an extended period of time. And hopefully we'll bring this agreement to the floor of the House to get it ratified. I think one of the frustrating things going on when people focus on the impeachment thing is this new agreement with Mexico and Canada that'll open up more markets has been sitting there. It should have been voted on 6 months ago.
Well, it could come to vote, I understand, in the House this week.
I hope so. We haven't been told it will be yet. And that would be good. But that'll be a step in the right direction. I think his negotiations with Japan were a step in the right direction. And he is trying to improve our overall trade relationship with China, and that would be a great thing if he was able to get something done there. But I'm pleased with what he's done with Mexico and Canada and Japan, and hopefully that will drive up the price a little bit. Part of our problem, of course, is over time we just have more and more milk produced in this country. And, you know, with the law of supply and demand, you have these big increases in the amount of milk supplied nationwide, not in Wisconsin, but nationwide, it drives down the price.
We've had Republicans and Democrats from Wisconsin's congressional delegation come on the program criticizing the president's trade policies. The trade war with China seems to get the most criticism. How do you feel about it?
Well, you could not continue to have the Chinese steal our intellectual property, steal our patents forever, and imagine the United States is going to be a great country. I think it's frustrating that it must be very frustrating for President Trump that he's trying to clean up a mess left by so many other presidents who didn't address the problem. But insofar as he's going to try to do something with intellectual property, the patents and that sort of thing, I applaud him for that. I wasn't a big fan of the steel and aluminum tariffs, but it looks like we've gotten over the worst of the hump there. I think when you do something this complicated, you should be getting more waivers out for companies that can't get products from anywhere but China. My office, on a personal level, has had success getting waivers from some Wisconsin companies. But like I said, overall, we can't continue to be a great country and have the Chinese steal all our ideas year after year after year.
We're talking with U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman on a range of issues that hit home to Wisconsin and pressing discussion before lawmakers on Capitol Hill. With you in the mix, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Canton. We have Congressman Glenn Grothman joining us from Washington. We're moving through a range of topics that lawmakers on Capitol Hill are debating and the effect on us here in Wisconsin. Some of the topics we want to get to include immigration and border security and where we're at with another short-term spending bill on how to fund the government. What do you want to ask Congressman Grothman on these issues of the southern border and government spending? We're at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go back to the phones now. Troy is joining us from Muskego this morning. Hi, Troy.
Hello. It's like one of the things that I get annoyed with politicians is how they like to use Trump's name to try to make it like somehow he fixed something or created solved the problem. As far as dairy goes, the reason why that your guest mentioned that dairy has gone up, one of the main variables why that has gone up is because dairy farmers actually have been gone out of business or closed their farms. That's a big variable. And then that makes more of a supply and demand effect. So that's got nothing to do with Trump. So I don't know why we're taking statistics and tying Trump's name.
Well, I think all dairy groups believe the answer to the low prices is increasing demand. Part of increasing demand is increasing exports to Mexico, Japan, and China, and Canada. President Trump is trying to do that. We know that the agreement with Mexico and Canada has not been ratified by Congress yet, but it is something that President Trump is trying to do and something that I am trying to do. We know that probably the new agreements with Japan have been so recent it hasn't resulted in a huge increase of dairy goods to Japan yet, but these are the answers to the low milk prices.
Thank you, Troy. Let's pivot here for a moment. You introduced legislation this week that's aimed at protecting veterans and all Americans from predatory lending practices. What would this legislation do?
Well, it would cap the interest rate at 36%. Individual states have historically done that, and we've had laws against usury going all the way back to George Washington's time, who was opposed to usury. Going back to biblical times, people thought usury was wrong. When people wind up having to pay interest at over 400%, you're really taking advantage of the financially illiterate. And it's just a bad product. It's becoming more and more of a federal issue as more and more people get these loans online instead of at the local brick-and-mortar store. So I think Congress has to step in. I am the lead Republican on the bill. Right now I'm the only Republican on the bill, but I'm hopefully we'll get it out of committee sometime in the next couple of weeks and get it on the floor of Congress. I hope the media covers it. Even if the bill doesn't get out of the Senate, I think a bill like that publicizes to people out there, don't go to these payday loan stores, the cash store and that ilk, because it's just such a bad financial decision.
Why 36%? Why cap it at that percentage?
Well, I think that I guess you could pick out a little higher number, a little lower number. I mean, when you're dealing with people charging interest rates of 300 to 400%, anything would be an improvement. I think 36% is such that even if the interest goes up a little, like it did in the late 70s, where it would be, you could hypothetically imagine a situation in which 19 or 20% would be a fair amount. 36% still covers it.
We're discussing national politics with U.S. Congressman Glenn Grothman. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. What issues in your community should Congress work on? What are your top concerns? What do you think about federal trade policies, immigration, or predatory lending, as we've been talking about? Let's turn to immigration and border security here. You called it our country's greatest concern earlier this year, but attention has seemed to fade. How should Congress be addressing immigration or the crisis at the southern border right now?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's a coincidence that interest has faded. I think that's one of the reasons for the impeachment hearings, because they want to force the media to cover an impeachment process that we all know is going nowhere and ignore what's going on at our southern border. Now, at its worst, in May, we were processing over 145,000 people, and that doesn't include people who were sneaking through the country without being processed. At that time, over 100,000 people a month were being allowed in the country. There are a variety of things that have to do. We have to be supportive of President Trump and saying, if you're going to come here, we don't want you coming here if it looks like you're going to take advantage of public benefits. We've got to be supportive of President Trump and say, look it, if you're coming here seeking asylum, you have to be really seeking asylum. You can't just say you're seeking asylum. And then we can get back down to manageable levels of illegal immigration. I want to point out to your listeners that President Trump or me have never done anything advocating the cut in legal immigration. You know, I happened to be in Milwaukee recently to watch swearing in a new people. Every month in Milwaukee, we swear in over 400 new legal immigrants in Wisconsin, and they swear in new immigrants in Madison as well. So, and these are just absolutely wonderful immigrants. We have about 4 million people in this country who are here on legal visas. Nobody's talking about reducing that. Some people are talking about raising that number. But to get people here illegally, some of which are going to take advantage of our public benefits, some of which are drug dealers, some of which are known criminals, is just a recipe for ruining our country. And that's why I think it is the most important issue out there. You know, when I approach this job, I sometimes say, when I do something, how is it going to affect America 20 years from now? And of all the problems out there we can address, if we don't address the immigration problem, the America that we know and love is not going to be here 15 years from now. Maybe it won't be here 10 years from now.
Do you support President Trump's push to end DACA, the Obama-era protections for the Dreamers that reached the Supreme Court this week?
Well, you know, I think everybody realizes that some of these people are going to have to stay here. But yes, we can't across the board say that everybody who was brought here as a minor gets a path to citizenship. I mean, we don't know how many millions of people we're letting in here, and we don't know how many of these people we want to have as citizens. And it's unfair to let those folks jump ahead of so many people who are trying to get here legally. I think everybody understands eventually some of these DACA folks are going to wind up citizens in America, however.
Would you support increasing visas to our country?
I don't think we have to increase them right now. I think there are some professions in which we're going to have to make some movement there, but we have to get a handle on all the illegal immigration first. We can't talk about more people coming here legally until we get a handle on the sea of people coming here illegally, which we haven't done yet.
Well, as you look at border security, then where could the federal government find money to pay for more border patrol agents, more border infrastructure to keep people out?
Oh, this is a money-saving deal. I mean, people, you know, can argue whether illegal immigration is costing $50 billion a year, $100 billion a year. I've been down at the border 3 times this year. People are already, the Border Patrol feels, showing up for the free medical care. We know California has said, you know, come one, come all for free medical care in the United States. At least in Wisconsin on the Medicaid program, which is, I assume, what they're talking about, the federal government pays 60% of that. And like I said, the Border Patrol tells me they believe that people are coming here now if they have medical problems because they know the United States will take care of it. So if you add more Border Patrol folks, you are saving money.
Let's look at the federal budget for a moment. You have legislation aimed at preventing government shutdowns. Another shutdown could happen next month if Republicans and Democrats can't reach an agreement on federal spending. How would your legislation prevent shutdowns?
Well, what we could do is we could do what we do in the state of Wisconsin, where automatically, if you don't get the budget done on time, the government continues to spend the exact same amount of money as they did a year ago. That's why you don't have shutdowns on a state level. The state of Wisconsin sometimes doesn't get their budget done by July 1st, but as we wait for them to complete the process, we spend the exact same amount as last year. That's what we should be doing on a federal level as well. We are going to have a controversial vote coming up in about a week, trying to extend the what we call a continuing resolution, trying to keep the government open. There's always a disagreement there among Republicans. Unless they attach something odious on there, I intend to vote for it. There's always been a split with Republicans. There's some Republicans out there who always want to shut down the government. I'm not one of those people. I think I was one of 2 out of 5 Republicans before October 1st who voted to keep the government open, and I intend, unless they attach something to the bill, I intend to vote to keep the government open again later this month.
Are you worried about a potential shutdown again this year coming ahead of Thanksgiving?
There's some people out there who always try to do it. I think cooler heads will prevail this time. I know some of my other Republican colleagues don't want to shut down. I know Donald Trump doesn't want to shut down. So I just think we have to get out there and explain to the public how I think irresponsible it is for some congressmen always to vote for a shutdown.
Congressman Glenn Grothman, thank you for joining us.
Always glad to talk to the erudite listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Congressman Glenn Grothman is a Republican who represents Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District in the U.S. House of Representatives. Coming up, we look at what political affiliation means to poll workers. Do you think Republican and Democratic parties should have the right to pick poll workers? What are your thoughts there? As a voter, do you think partisanship among poll workers matters? Join in, 800-642-1234. We'll talk with the president of the Wisconsin Municipal Clerks Association right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.